Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means go out into the deep. A one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Welcome, friends. Hello, hello. I'm Rita Halk-Lane, your host for the next hour. Thank you for joining me today as we seek to, a deeper, more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Anyway, it's really amazing how quickly Christmas has snuck up on us this year. We've had one last week to prepare for Christmas between Thanksgiving and Christmas Day than we normally have, and it feels like it. I don't know about you, but it has been a whirlwind for us since Thanksgiving, because, you know, you want to relish Thanksgiving. It's such a wonderful holiday where you look at what you do have and try to not dwell on what you don't have, and you spend time with family or friends or both, and there's not a lot of pressure to buy gifts and all that sort of thing. So it's just a really wonderful holiday. You don't want to like skip over it and run into Christmas preparation right away. But this year we didn't have much choice. So we had a lot of things to get done. But I pray you've been able to get prepared without too much last minute rushing. Speaking of rushing, I don't want to be negative here, but this popped up this week, and it really had an impact on me, and I wanted to share it with you. A friend sent me this quote. I don't know where it comes from, but it says, "Rushing steals joy." Rushing steals joy. And that really resonated with me, and I was happy to receive it at this time of year, because most of us are rushing. And so, when I hear things like that, I was at a retreat last year, and one of the retreat directors said that, you know, we need to learn from Mother Mary, Jesus's mother, how to ponder things. Scripture says it more than once, that she pondered these things in her heart. And if we want to really, really be wise and get an understanding from the Lord about things that are happening or things that we've heard said that really resonated with us, we need to ponder them like she did. And so I heard that rushing steals joy quote, and I really wanted to ponder that, because you know, you can hear that and just say, oh, yeah. Or you can say, wow, there's a truth in that that I want to address in my own life. So I ask you, is this true for you? Does rushing steal your joy? Is it true? So, you know, after the show is over, remember that. Rushing steals joy, and ponder that yourself. Is there something that you need to learn from it like I have? Is there something that maybe needs to be adjusted in your life like needs to be adjusted in mine? How does rushing around make you feel? And it's something we really need to focus on, because quality of life, you know, the Lord wants us to be joyful Christians. He came to bring us joy to the full. But we interfere with it. We interfere with it ourselves. And so, I hope you'll ponder that yourself. But, you know, some people are addicted to the adrenaline rush that happens when they're constantly on the move, constantly under pressure, constantly like under the gun, boom, boom, boom. I wait till the last minute because I'm most productive when I'm rushing around and that sort of thing. I actually used to be like that. And it takes a lot of work to move out of that. But most people are stressed by rushing around, and are rushing around because they are stressed. So I'd like to share another quote with you that I discovered years ago. And I typed it up and I put it on a piece of paper in my car, because most of the time when I'm rushing around, I'm in my car. So I typed it up and put it on my dashboard, and when I would get really crazy, I would read it, and it would help me. So I'm going to give it to you. It says, it is a quote from St. Francis de Sales, that mighty saint with such practical advice for living the Christian life. And he says, "Never be in a hurry. Do everything quietly and in a calm spirit. Do not lose your inner peace for anything whatsoever, even if your whole world seems upset." I'm going to repeat it again. This is a quote from St. Francis de Sales that has made a huge impact in my life, and I have forgotten it recently, so I'm going to type it up and put it not only in my car, but here at the studio and in my house and anywhere else that I'm working. So, never be in a hurry. Do everything quietly and in a calm spirit. Do not lose your inner peace for anything whatsoever, even if your whole world seems upset. Well, I have to say that although it's easy for me to read that quote, and it was easy for him to say it, it's not always easy to do. I have found that spending time in prayer and asking the Lord to help me prioritize and plan, so I'm not running around like a chicken with its head cut off, as I like to say, that it is possible to avoid rushing. But there's always going to be some that's going to happen, but I'm talking about the type of life where one is constantly under pressure, constantly rushing, constantly trying to do things in a not peaceful way. So anyway, I'm going to try to make simplifying my schedule and hurrying less a New Year's resolution. Now, we all know New Year's resolutions don't always work, but this is something I think is vital to our Christian lives. I think it's vital to our relationships and to our work. It affects everything. So I wanted to share with you also, I'm reading a book by Matthew Kelly by the name of Slowing Down to the Speed of Joy: The Simple Art of Taking Back Your Life. Slowing Down to the Speed of Joy: The Simple Art of Taking Back Your Life by Matthew Kelly. I highly recommend it. It's short, it's simple, it's easy, it's not complicated at all, but it helps to refocus and look at, you know, what is life about anyway? What is all this rushing about and hurrying up and complicated lives? What's that all really getting us after all? So I just wanted to share that with you. And I wanted to, when we're rushing around, we can't hear the voice of God. He's always speaking to us, always. Always reaching out to us. He's on a search and rescue mission with us. He searches us out. He wants to rescue us, obviously, first and foremost, from eternal damnation. He wants us to be in heaven with him forever. But he also wants to rescue us from superficial living and complications that we bring on ourselves. So I'm going to share with you some scriptures, because if we're rushing around too much, we don't hear him. And scriptures talk about that. The number one that I love is the one, even Kathleen speaks of it often, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. When we are still and we listen to him and we talk with him, he will reveal himself to us, and we will know he exists. We will know that he is with us. We will know the way. So be still and know I am God. I am the Lord. And Kathleen also, and Mother Teresa also, in the silence of the heart, God speaks. In the silence of our hearts, God speaks, and we listen. When we're in silence, we're listening. We're waiting. We're hoping. And that's when he does. And I want to remind you that Elijah in 1 Kings in the Bible, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. The Lord will pass by. And so Elijah did that. He waited. There was a strong and violent wind, rending the mountains and crushing rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, a light, silent sound. When he heard this, Elijah hid his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. The whole point of this is that we are a lot like Elijah. You know, he went and he was waiting and he was expecting that the Lord's voice would come either in these big things or after these big things. And in reality, he doesn't show off like that most of the time. He's quiet, and he just waits for you to get quiet so that he can speak to your heart. That's what he wants more than anything, is to speak to your heart and for you to hear him and to be in communion with him. He loves you so much. But when we hurry and we're too busy, not only do we lose the ability to listen and hear God's voice, listen to and hear God's voice, but all our relationships and many decisions that we make suffer as a result of being too busy and rushing around all the time. You might not have thought about that, but it's true. The Bible mentions many times how hurrying can cause us to miss the mark that we're aiming for, or fail in our objectives, what we're trying to do, when we're doing them too fast or whatever, it doesn't work sometimes. Also, quick actions, spur of the moment, quick actions that seem right at the time, but we haven't given enough thought to, can lead to ruin, actually. It can lead to the type of bad decisions or wrong decisions that actually ruin what we're trying, the good that we're trying to do. Sometimes we get excited about our work or about serving the Lord or whatever, and sometimes that excitement, without taking the time to discern how to do it from the Lord, can be very ineffective and can be catastrophic at times. But however, I believe, and I know that the Lord agrees with me, because you see it in Scripture, that it's never too late. It's never too late to begin to reassess to analyze, to figure out, okay, what are the most important things in my life that need to be focused on? And how do I work it, with the grace of God, obviously, to order my days, to prioritize, and to be less busy so that I have more time to focus on the most important things and get them done well, and to spend time with my family and actually be in real relationships with people, friends too. I am as guilty as anybody in looking at my day. I always make a list every day, maybe the night before. This is what I really need to do tomorrow. And I get about a third of it done. And it's because I have too much to do. And as a result of that, a lot of my relationships have suffered. I love people deeply. I love the people in my life deeply. I especially love my closest friends. And a lot of times, I have every intention of calling one or two of them each day, and something happens, and it doesn't happen. That is what I'm going to focus on after the first of the year. I love them dearly. If they call me, I'll drop everything to talk to them. I really will. But a lot of times they know I'm busy. I have a lot of ministries I'm involved in, and I still work. So they don't want to bother me. But they don't realize that if they call me, a lot of times it's a nice little break for me. You know, so it makes me stop, smell the roses a little bit, and it's a good thing. So anyway, that's one of the things I want to do. So it's never too late. And even though Christmas is this week, and we all have things that we've been running around doing, and I'm sure most of us, like me, have a lot more to do, it's not too late to sit back, maybe tonight after dinner. Sit back in quiet with the Lord and say, Lord, I have all these things planned that I need to do. Is there something here that I really don't need to do? That I can let go just this year because I didn't have as much time to prep for the Christmas season as I normally do? Or can I even put off some of this until after Christmas Day? I bet you there's a lot that you could put off. Or actually not do. Okay, so it's never too late. With God, all things are possible. And then for next year, knowing that this time of year is pretty crazy, maybe sitting down in October or early November and making a little plan so that things are spread out over a couple of months to prepare in advance so we're not running around so much. That's what I'm hoping to do. I already have done a little bit of that this year out of necessity, not having as much time and being away for Thanksgiving. I had to make some decisions about what I was going to be able to do and not be able to do, and what was really important. And it worked pretty well for me. In fact, it was pretty liberating. But it's not perfected by any means. So I'm still not doing as well as I thought. So anyway, rushing steals joy. Remember that. Rushing steals joy. And so I wanted to move on to how to celebrate Christmas. One of the wonderful things that I learned when joining the Catholic Church is that Christmas Day is the beginning of the holiday season. There is an actual Christmas season as Catholic Christians that we observe. We decorate, we get ready for Christmas Day and the Christmas season, but it doesn't stop on Christmas Day. It's the most wonderful thing. It's wonderful. Christmas Day begins the Christmas season. It starts off with a bang, as I like to say. But all, you know, I love it because I didn't observe that before I was Christian. But Christmas Day comes, that's the end of everything, basically. Take down the tree if it's all dried out. Leave it up a little longer if it's not. You take down your decorations. You put your gifts away and you go on and you have a nice New Year's or whatever. But Christmas is done on Christmas Day. But in Catholic land, which I say with absolute affection, we start our party on Christmas Day. And I love it because all the leading up to Christmas is generally hectic. There's a lot of parties. There's a lot of events. And I really wish, you know, we're Catholic Christians. The Christmas season begins on Christmas Day. So why don't we do more Christmas-type events during the Christmas season? Like tonight, God bless them, wonderful choral concert at my parish tonight. And I would love to go to it. I don't know if I'll be able to. But it would be nice if it was next week or even the first week of January, because then it would affirm that the Christmas season is still happening, and it wouldn't be all crammed into that short period of time that everything else is crammed into, and you could celebrate it more. I think it would be great. I really do. It would take some getting used to, but I really do. But anyway, Christmas season begins on Christmas Day and runs anywhere from 12 days, you know, to the Feast of the Epiphany, which is a celebration of the Magi or the wise men or the kings, whatever you want to call them, who came to visit the Christ child, which the world celebrates. We celebrate because it signifies that Jesus came for the Gentiles, because they were not Jewish, came for the Gentiles as well, and they recognized it and they went to him. They were drawn to him because even though they knew he was going to be the king of the Jews, they wanted him too, and he welcomed them through his family. So that's why we celebrate, because I'm not Jewish, so I'm considered a Gentile, and so anyone outside the Jewish faith is a Gentile, and we are all welcome by Jesus Christ, and we celebrate that on the Feast of the Epiphany, which is 12 days after Christmas. But I have a secret to tell you. In many countries, especially in Europe, they celebrate Christmas until Candlemas, which is on February 2nd. And I'll talk about that later on another show. But February 2nd is Candlemas, where candles are brought out. And it's a wonderful, wonderful celebration. And it's also the where we celebrate Joseph and Mary taking the baby Jesus and presenting him in the temple. So and dedicating him to God, his Father. So if you go to Europe, I've heard this, I haven't been there, but I've heard that in Italy, they keep up their creches and their Christmas decorations, a lot of people do, until Candlemas. So if you want to go and experience the beauty of Christmas, but you can't get there before Christmas, you can go after Christmas and still experience it. I love that idea. I would like to do that myself. Anyway, I'm going to encourage you. You know, 12 days is a long time. And I actually go beyond that in my celebration. I stretch it out as much as I can, and a lot of times I stretch it out to Candlemas, February 2nd. But there's a lot of things you can do. And if you go online and you search for ways to celebrate the Christmas season in the Catholic tradition, you don't have to be Catholic. You can celebrate it. You can choose to celebrate it no matter who you are, no matter what faith you are, even if you're secular. You know, don't have faith. You just enjoy Christmas and Santa and all that. But there's a lot of ways to celebrate. And one of them is you go to Mass more often. Have a priest come and bless your home. Celebrate every day with something special. Special meals, get-togethers with friends. Go out of your way. You can celebrate Boxing Day like the Canadians do. A lot of countries do on the Feast of St. Stephen. It's right after Christmas. I think it's the 26th. I'm not sure, but I think it's the 26th, where you take baked goods to neighbors or little gifts to people that you didn't see at Christmas time. And you can bless your children with holy water on the Feast of the Holy Innocents, which is December 28th, while remembering the young children of Bethlehem who were killed by King Herod. You know, bless your children with holy water. You can celebrate as a family on the Feast of the Holy Family, which is the Sunday after Christmas. You can pray the Rosary more often. You can pray the Rosary especially on the Solemnity of Mary, Mother of God, on January 1st, which was my mother's birthday. And her name was Mary, and we weren't even Catholic. So I get to celebrate my mother and Mary, the Mother of Jesus, my spiritual mother, on the same day. So, but there's a lot of fun things you can do. Invite friends over. Celebrate. I mean, go all out. This is a fantastic time of year. It's dark and dreary. Bring light into it. I got to take a break. I'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together, in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Hello, hello. I'm Rita Halclane. You're listening to Duke and Altum. Go out into the deep here on In His Sign Catholic Network. I think it's really funny. The last half hour, I was sharing with you about Christmas and various other things, but neither Frank nor I realized, our engineer realized, that we didn't have the light on here for the Facebook broadcast. And he just turned it on. But he doesn't realize that it was a sign from God, because I'm getting ready to talk about Jesus as the light of the world. Thanks, Frank. Anyway, God has a great sense of humor. Anyway, when it's dark, when the power goes out, when you're watching TV at night, when the sun's gone down and there's no light, power goes out, what do you look for? What do you look for? You look for a source of light to see. We all do. And I want to share with you some biblical things and some information about Jesus that you may not really be aware of. So I hope you'll stay with me for the next half hour. I really appreciate it that you're listening to me. I was on my way here and I was thinking what a privilege it is to be able to be with you Christmas week. Getting ready. Looking forward to Christmas. At least most of us are. Okay, and I'll talk about that in a little bit too as well. So, it you know, there's different kinds. It's just like there's more than one kind of poverty. And there's more than one kind of healing. Healing of mind, body, and soul. Poverty of emotions, spiritual poverty, physical hunger poverty. There's a lot of different kinds of darkness as well. And so in the world, there seems to be a lot of darkness. And when I say that, I'm talking about there's a lot of confusion, there's a lot of chaos, there's life is complicated in so many ways, there's misunderstandings, even facts seem, confusing and muddled, you know. So seems to be a lot of darkness in the world right now. And I just want to point out to you something that you may not know. The world received a great light, a little over 2,000 years ago on the first Christmas night. A light that never goes out. A light that shines on our emotions, that shines on our bodies, it shines on our spiritual lives, it shines in our hearts, it shines on our paths, it shines. He shines everywhere if we let Him. So I wanted to share with you a few Bible scriptures. This one is from, if you don't know what it, before Jesus ever came, there were prophets. These were men that the Lord revealed things to share with the world, the promises that he was making to humankind, to send Jesus into the world, to make a huge difference in the world. There's many things that Jesus came to do, but I wanted to focus on him as the light of the world. And so the prophet Isaiah said many centuries before Jesus ever came in the Bible. It says in Isaiah 9, it says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who lived in a land of gloom, a light has shone." And he was referring to the coming Messiah. No one knew when it was going to be, but that person, the Son of God, was going to be such an eye-opening, revealing person that it would open our eyes and our ears and our hearts in ways that we had never experienced as humankind. And then Isaiah also says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." He's predicting this is what's going to happen. Okay? Okay, and in the Gospel of John, the first chapter I'm going to share that with you. In the beginning was the Word. He's speaking of Jesus as the Word, the mouthpiece of God, the teacher of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through him, and without him, nothing came to be. What came to be through him was life. What came to be through him was life, and this life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. He's speaking about Jesus. Through him came life, his life, and this light was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I want to stop there for just a second. If you turn all the lights off in your house at night and you light a candle, all that darkness in the room cannot extinguish that candle. That light is in the darkness no matter what, unless you turn it out. And Jesus is the eternal light in our lives that dispels the darkness, lights our paths, loves us with a love, an eternal love. And the darkness cannot overcome it, cannot overcome him. And then it goes on to John. St. John says, a man named John was sent from God. He's speaking of John the Baptist. He came for testimony, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He, John, was not the light, but came to testify to the light, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. Isn't that telling? Isn't that beautiful? How scriptures, the Bible scriptures, describe Jesus, describe the Lord as light. That's another thing that we need to ponder. In these days leading up to Christmas Day, and during the Christmas season, let us ponder God as a light, Jesus as being the light that came into the world. He even says later on in his ministry, I am the light of the world. Through him we see clearly. As long as we don't get in the way, as long as we don't put sin shadows everywhere in our lives, we will see more clearly. So John, in John's gospel, he knew Jesus firsthand. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. And I want to share, there's a couple articles that I pulled out today that I thought helped us understand about light as a description of Jesus and how it's associated with God the Father, even in the Old Testament. So this is an article. It's from Loyola Press, and it did not have the name of the author on it. So I'm sorry. Jesus, the light of the world. And it says, think of a glorious sunrise or sunset that you have seen. No wonder some people worship the sun as a god. I mean, it is glorious and beautiful and strong. We who are more enlightened know the one true God is not the sun, but the maker of the sun. However, we associate light with God, as did our Jewish ancestors in the faith. Bright clouds, a burning bush, a pillar of fire, were signs of God's presence for them. The psalmist spoke of God as light. In Psalm 27, he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." And the prophet Isaiah promised, "The Lord shall be your light forever." Folks, this is important. This is a valuable lesson for us to learn and understand. And then the author goes on to say, light stood for the glory of God. Prophecies also spoke of the Messiah, Jesus, as light. In Isaiah again, he says, your light has come, the glory of the Lord shines upon you. And the prophet Simeon, the old man Simeon, who was waiting in the temple forever for the Messiah to come, he hailed the child Jesus as a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Go and read it. That's a quote from him. He said he would be the light for revelation for the Gentiles. Oh, so beautiful. One ceremony for the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was the lighting of four great candelabra in the court of women in memory of God's presence. Those candles were signified or symbolized the presence of God and the light of God. In him there is no darkness. No darkness at all. And it says in the article, while in the court of women on this feast, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. These words imply that Jesus was God as well as the Messiah. Jesus repeated his claim before he cured the blind man. You know, I once heard Reverend Billy Graham, God bless his soul, preach about when we come to Jesus, believe, and are baptized, immediately our eyes are opened and we see life differently. We receive a grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. It changes us. And he's right. It changes us. If we are sincere, if we are open, if we allow the Lord to do what he has promised to do, we see things differently. It's a different way of seeing. It's clearer and it's beautiful. And that's why people like me and other evangelists or leaders, we want you to have that too, if you don't already have it. And if you do believe and you have been baptized and you still don't feel like you are seeing clearly, I mean, none of us is 100%. Pray for it. Pray for it. He wants to give that to you. We no longer live in the darkness that we once lived in when we come to Jesus Christ. And believe you me, what we thought wasn't so bad has a lot of darkness in it. A lot of darkness. And the author goes on to say, light is beautiful and mysterious like God. It is one color, but it can be separated into many colors. No one knows if light is made up of particles or waves. It's mysterious. In addition, light has many functions that makes it a good symbol for Jesus. Light helps us see things. Jesus gives us the truth about God and about life, our origin and our destiny. Light guides us as we travel. Jesus guides us safely through life to our heavenly home. Light promotes growth and life. Jesus brings us everlasting life and growth in our spiritual lives now, already. Light warms and comforts. Jesus welcomes us and calms us. Light prevents crime. God is goodness itself. and helps us to see the crime before we do it. Light dispels darkness, which stands for evil. Jesus pierces the darkness of sin and death and conquers them. All the darkness in the world cannot put out one candle flame. Jesus cannot be overcome by evil. We often think of Jesus as our light. John begins his gospel with the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world, which I just read to you. In the Nicene Creed, we call Jesus light from light. Remember that when you're in church every Sunday? Or, you know, Jesus, light from light, true God from true God. Our greatest celebration, the Easter Vigil, opens by lighting a paschal candle from new fire and acclaiming the light of Christ. A famous poem by Cardinal John Henry Newman begins, "Lead, kindly light, amid the encircling gloom, lead thou me on." We pray for enlightenment to Christ and his Spirit, who came to us in the form of fire on Pentecost. Following their lights, we look forward to eternal light in God's kingdom, where all of God's holy ones, night will be no more, nor will they need light from lamps or sun, for the Lord God shall give them light. Light of the world, illumine us. See? And then another article talks about why is Jesus referred to as the light of the world, and how does that relate to Christmas? And again, this is for the Reverend Michael Van Sloan. The light pierces, Jesus is the true light, the light of the world. And he gives scriptural references. I don't have time to give all those to you, but this is all scriptural. Jesus is the true light, the light of the world, and he was born during the night watch. Why do you think he was born at night? It wasn't by accident or just a coincidence. He was born at night because he came to bring light to the world. And so, Father goes on to say, he was born during the night watch, which is around midnight when it was pitch black outside, the time when the darkness is the deepest and most intense. On that first Christmas night, the light shined in the darkness. The glory of the Lord shone. The darkness had not overcome it, and it enlightens everyone. And it was a long-awaited light. The birth of Christ's child fulfilled Isaiah's ancient prophecy. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light upon those who dwell in the land of gloom. A light has shone. The newborn Son of God shines like the sun. He is the Sun, S-U-N, of justice, who brings healing rays, which was prophesied in the book of Malachi. The symbolism of light. Light is a rich symbol with many meanings. It can represent sacredness, sanctity, blessedness, holiness, purity, innocence, goodness, perfection, glory, splendor, grandeur, majesty, magnificence, greatness, wonder, intelligence, enlightenment, insight, wisdom, intelligence, knowledge, divinity, the presence of God, joy, and truth. You see that all in scriptures. All of that. Light is all through scripture. And I believe that the Lord gave us darkness and light physically with the sun and the moon and stars, so that we could understand what he does for us in our lives as our light. Even the darkest times will give in to light. Light symbols, he says, the most common symbol for Jesus as light is a single, undecorated, white candle. Such a candle can stand alone or be placed inside the Advent wreath. If you have one, this is tradition. On Christmas Day, you light a white candle in the center of the colored candles, and that signifies the light of Christ. And in church, the candles in the sanctuary, in our churches, candles are used. They remind us that Jesus is the light. That's why they're there. They remind us that Jesus is the light. There's a candle in a little red urn on the wall when Jesus is in the tabernacle in the church. And that candle is lit when he is there to signify his presence. So, a Christmas meditation he shares with us. Consider the following as a possible way to pray. Set aside some time, maybe 10 minutes, maybe half an hour. Be alone. Set a single candle on a table or a stand. Light it. Darken the room, rest of the room. Turn off lamps. Pull the shades. Have the candle be the only light. Find a comfortable sitting position, facing it. Calm yourself. Take some deep breaths and relax. Eliminate as many mental distractions as possible. Give your entire attention to the dancing flame and the glowing rays. Be wide-eyed. Let the light flood in. See Jesus in the light. Let Jesus brighten your life. Let Jesus warm your heart. Let his word illumine your mind and guide your ways. I wanted to share those with you because they're so eloquent and they really helped me to really, really, really be able to see more clearly the beauty of this time of year. But I do want to share one other thing with you. For those of you who are sad or mourning, I know this is a difficult time for you. Because even I, even though I haven't lost anyone lately that was crucial in my life, I'm really, I'm saddened by the loss of other people. I'm saddened by the loss of the people that I've lost in the past. But I just want to encourage you with some scriptures. And I just want to encourage you, don't give up. Keep on persevering. In the book of Romans, it says, we boast in the hope of the glory of God. That's another sign of light, glory of God. Not only that, but we even boast of our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance, and endurance proving character, and proving character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. And then in Luke 6, Jesus says himself, because blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. And in the book of Psalms 34, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those whose spirits are crushed. Okay. In other words, God's promises are trustworthy. We've all lost somebody. We've all been through grief. And all of us have felt like we just couldn't go on. It was too overwhelming, too horrible, too awful. But if we have the Lord, that light, it might just be a flicker of a candle. That light, small as it may be in the midst of your darkness, is there. Trust it. Pray for it to be strong in your life. God's promises basically say in Scripture that people who are sad today won't stay that way forever. This will pass. You will never, ever completely get over it. But your grief, your deep sadness and sorrow will pass. And happier times will come in the future. That he made us that way so we wouldn't be overwhelmed with the darkness, that the light would be able to shine in on us and move and dwell in us and draw us out of that grief. So my heart is with you, and I pray that you will be comforted, that you will find joy in this Christmas season, that you will be able to smile. Look at children. Look at children. That will encourage you. But I have some Bible verses that I want to share with you. Last but not least, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And so with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. St. Paul says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of humankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. There's numerous scriptures. So I have to go, but I wish you a very, very merry and blessed Christmas, and comfort and joy and light and peace. And until we're together again, please pray for us here at the network. We're praying for you, and I'll see you in a week. God bless you.